33rd chapter of Psalm. Psalm number 33, where we'll be this morning. Monica's with the toddlers for the next 5 minutes, so I can say whatever I want to and not get in trouble. All right. Psalm number 33. You have your Bibles with you this morning. All right. If you're in Psalm 33, say amen. Amen. All right. All right. Let's start in verse number 1. We'll read the first 12 verses here in Psalm chapter 33. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, and play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You one more time this morning. And Lord, we just want to thank You for one more opportunity to be in here. Lord, I thank You for the good singing that we've had. And Lord, I pray that our praise was pleasing to You, God. And I thank You just for allowing us to come in here. And God, I pray that as we study Your Word, I pray, God, that You'll fill us up with Your Spirit. I pray, God, that You'll remove every hindrance. I pray that You'll remove us of our flesh, God. I pray that You'll cleanse us of our sin. And God, I pray that as we walk out of this place, Lord, I pray that we'll know more about Your Word than we already do, Lord. And I pray that most of all we might grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. And Lord, I pray for everything that's said the rest of this day, Lord, that You'll be careful to get all the glory for it. And for all of it, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As most of you know, we've been looking for a home to move into. We're getting married, and I was on move into it before we get married here. Well, this past week, we finally got to close on our home. And as I was standing out there on Friday night, moving all the U-Haul stuff in, I began to look up, and I just saw the moon hanging in the sky. It was a beautiful 60-degree night. And I just looked up, and I said, I can't believe God did all this for us. Isn't it amazing what God does for us? We take for granted the homes that we live in. We take for granted the roof that we have over our head. And I begin to look up and just see the moon hanging on absolutely nothing and seeing what God did for us. And it brought just a little bitty tear to my eye. And I thought, why in the world would God do something like this for something like me? And it's because of His grace. And He loves us so much. And I'm thankful for that. But as we begin to move my stuff in, these past 2 days, Monica and I, we went back to my parents' house back in South Carolina, I think it was last week, to the home that I've been living in for the past 18 years. And as I got there, I realized that I was going to have to move stuff that's been sitting on my bedroom floor for 18 years. It's been in the cabinets for 18 years, I ain't even seen it. And as I begin to clean, I realized it maybe was not the best idea for my fiance to see all the stuff that was in there. Because she found some stuff from some old girlfriends that I had no idea was in there. So just a hint to anybody that's moving stuff, if you've been living somewhere for 18 years, just don't allow your future wife to go clean it up for you. But anyway, as I began to look around, I looked inside my room and I began to think. I've been living in this room for 18 years and I had a bunch of stuff in there. And I just began to look around at it and I got to thinking, what's the most precious thing that I have in my room? I mean, I had a lot of stuff in there. I love baseball, I love football. I have trophies from 8 and under all the way up to college in baseball that I had in there that I love. I have New York Yankees memorabilia, signed stuff from Derek Jeter, Alex Rodriguez, all these people that's going to be in the Hall of Fame, they all signed stuff and I got it in my room. Panthers, Carolina Panthers memorabilia, I love all that stuff. But as I began to look around, I spotted something that was the most precious thing that I have in my room. And I realized what it was. And it was this Bible right here. And now let me tell you a few reasons why it's the most precious thing that I have. Not only because of what's on the inside of it, it's because of who gave it to me. My grandpa's name was J.C. Driver, which is my initials, Justin Corey Driver. And he's got his name engraved on the bottom of it. And last February, he passed away. And this man was the greatest man that I've ever known my entire life. I loved him with all my heart. If I was down, all I had to do was walk into his house and he'd lift me up just like that. If I needed somebody to pat me on the back, all I'd have to do was walk in and he'd start patting. He's the greatest man that I've ever known and I miss him dearly, I do. And he gave me his Bible right before he died. And as I began to just look at it, and then I began to open it and I looked at some of the messages that I preached when he was still alive and he had circled the verses that I preached from and wrote Justin Driver and wrote down the 3 points that I preached on it. This is one of the most precious things that I have and that I will ever have. And some of you probably have something like this from y'all's parents or your grandparents or something like that. But this thing is not just precious to me because of who gave it to me, because of the name on it, because he was the best man that I've ever known. But can I tell you, this Bible is precious to me because of what is on the inside of it. And what's on the inside of this Bible right here is God's letter to you and me. God's letter to you and me. And in Psalm 33, it's one of the greatest psalms on the power of God's Word. Verse number 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of heaven by the breath of His mouth." You see, God did not need His hands to create anything. All God had to do was speak a word and He hung the sun in the sky on absolutely nothing. He hung the moon in the universe on absolutely nothing. All the billions of stars, when you go out in the night sky and look up all those stars, all He did was speak a word and they were there. All the planets that we study about, all the planets that you can see through a telescope, all those were created by the very Word of God. He didn't need His hands to do it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 3, what's it say? "And God said, let there be light." And what's the next phrase say? "And there was light." I walked in here last night. I was here till about 8:30. And I walked in here, and I've never been in here that late. And this is the darkest, one of the most scariest room to be in at 8:30 at night. Because you cannot see, I walked in and I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. And I was thinking, if I just sat here and said, "All right, lights turn on." They ain't gonna turn on. Because they don't listen to me. They don't care what I say. And if I said right now, "Brother Ricky, don't do this." If I say lights turn off, they ain't gonna turn off. Because they don't listen to me. But when God says something, all the universe pays attention and all the universe obeys. God spoke, and all of it was created. It said, by the breath of His mouth, every single thing that we see up in the night sky was created by God. All the things that you see in the sky, everything on land, all the animals were made by the breath of God. And even mankind, Adam, was formed by God, and the Bible says that He breathed the breath of life into Adam and man became a living soul. And that's interesting to me that this psalm says right here that God breathed everything into existence. Because you know what 2 Timothy 3:16 says? It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for rebuke, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That word right there for all Scripture is given by inspiration. You know what the word inspiration means? It literally means God breathed. So all Scripture is God breathed. So not only is this world and everything in it created by the breath of God, but this Bible that I hold in my hand right here was breathed by the very breath of God, and He created it and gave it to us that we might know who He is. The same way creation came into being by the breath of God, not by just something that came and crashed together and made everything. You got to have a whole lot more faith to believe in the beginning God. That's all you need. I won't get into that. But the same way creation was made by the breath of God is the same way that Bible that you hold in your hands this morning was put together by the very breath of God. Peter didn't sit down and say, I'm going to just write what I want in there, don't put it in the Bible. Paul didn't sit down and say, I'm going to write whatever I want in there, don't put it in there. But this is what the Bible says. It says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, interesting again, in Genesis 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God began to create. The same way the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters in the beginning is the same way the same Spirit of God moved upon Peter, moved upon Paul, moved upon Moses, moved upon Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and moved them to write the very words that you and I have in our hands this morning. This is not just a copy of God's Word. This is God's Word that He's given to us. Is your Bible precious to you this morning? Shake your head if it is. If it is, take it and hold it up. And if you don't have it, bring it next week because we can do it again. If your Bible is precious to you like mine is, how many times did we pick it up and read it since last Sunday? How many times, Monday through Saturday, did we pick up and say, I want to know more about God? And take His Word and say, God, I want to know more about You, so I'm going to read Your Word. See, the Bible is powerful. The same Word that created all this is the same exact Word that you and I hold in our hands, and that's powerful. And it's very precious to me. My mom used to tell me stories about she was growing up as a kid. She had two brothers and one sister. And before they could even go to bed, their dad would gather them together in the living room. Some of y'all might can attest to this very same fact. And open up the Word of God, and they would read it all together before they went to bed. Before they could go into their rooms and go to bed, their dad would gather them together and read the Bible as a family. Every year, about 2 or 3 days before Christmas, we gather together with my mom's family. And before we can open one gift, my grandpa takes the Bible and reads Luke chapter number 2, and we all pray together before we can open one thing. If I were to go to my other grandparents' house when my grandpa was still living, it didn't matter what age I was. If I were to go up there at 8 a.m., they only lived 4 houses up from me. If I were to walk up there at 8 a.m. to go eat some sausage biscuits, she makes the best ones. You know what I'd find? Grandma sitting on this side of the table reading her Bible, and Grandpa sitting on this side of the table reading his Bible. And if I were to walk up there at 10 p.m. to go spend the night with them, you know what I'd find? Grandma laying on this side of the bed reading her Bible, and Grandpa laying on this side of the bed reading his Bible, and I'd jump right in the middle of them. But there's something that's happened in Christian homes around America. No longer is the Bible a priority like it used to be. No longer is the Bible read as a family like it used to. So is the Bible a priority in our homes? Something has happened to where the TV that we watch in front of us has become more important than us knowing more about God. And the Bible has been thrown to the side of nearly every home in America. And if it's even in the home, some people leave it in their car. And we see exactly why. Now, one out of every two couples that get married get divorced now. That's the stats now. It used to be one out of every five 50 years ago. Now, it's one out of every two people that get married get divorced. 50% don't make it. And I dare to say it's because this Bible sits on the shelf all week. And we no longer put God in the center of our homes. And I might be preaching to the choir this morning, but that's all right. But the Bible should be the most precious thing on the inside of the children of God's home. And I've come here to tell you this morning, I don't know what's going to happen to this nation. I don't know what's going to happen around this country. But we need to decide for ourselves and our homes, no matter how old we are. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Don't worry about what the neighbors are doing. We can witness to them. We can tell them about Jesus. But don't get so caught up in what this nation is doing and turning away from God that our own homes don't put God in the center of everything that we do anymore. Can I ask you something this morning? Is the Bible the top priority in your home? Or have we let secular things get in the way? And I just want to go over just for a few more minutes. Why do we need God's Word in our home? Why do we need God's Word in our home? I want you to know, number one, God's Word brings us to salvation. God's Word brings us to salvation. Romans 10 and verse 17, everybody knows it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith, if we've exercised faith and salvation in Jesus Christ, it just didn't happen by accident one day. More than likely, Jesus didn't show up to you like He did to Paul on the Damascus Road and say, you need to get saved. But rather, we heard that still small voice on the inside of our heart telling us that we needed to get saved. And telling us that there was only one way to heaven. You heard the Word of God probably a lot of times before you got saved. There's very few people, as me and Max talked about one time, that hear the Word of God one time and get saved right then. I went to church for 12 years nearly every single Sunday and heard my preacher teach that Jesus is the only way to heaven is by faith in Jesus Christ. And I heard it for 12 years and I didn't respond. I went to a Christian learning center. It was a public school thing that we did. We would take the bus and go off campus about a mile away from our school. And she would teach us the Bible 3 days a week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. She would teach us about the Bible. And I was in that class for 6 months. Until I responded one day. She taught us that there was you had to exercise faith in Jesus Christ and that there was only one way to heaven. And by the way, that still sticks today. There's only one way to get into heaven. Not by the good things that you do, not because we've come to church for the last 50 years, not because we've even been baptized, but because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And I realized one day, on February the 21st of 2006, when I was riding on that bus, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, not audibly, but He spoke to me directly into my heart and said, you need to get saved. And you see what happened? All those years that I went to church, the Holy Spirit was working that into my heart. When I was 3 years old, I was in the toddlers. When I was 5 years old, I was in the toddlers at church. And I didn't know what they were talking about. But you know what happened? It began to ring in my ears. It began to get in my heart, and it stayed there. And one day the Holy Spirit said, it's time to get saved. There's only one way, and you can't get there on your own. And my heart began to be pricked. You see, you and I could not get saved until we heard the gospel first. And you would be amazed, absolutely amazed, I'm telling you, how many people around this community, if you were to ask them, do you know what it means to be saved? They would say no. See, I was going down into the prisons and working in South Carolina. We went down to Columbia. At this time, I think I was 19 years old, 20 years old. And I just began to ask some of them, do you know what it means to be saved? And I figured just because I lived in South Carolina, everybody knew. Because we live in South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, the Bible Belt as they call it, that everybody knows the Bible and everybody knows that there's only one way to heaven. But as I began to go around them cells, 9 out of the first 10 cells that I went to, I asked, do you know what it means to be saved? And they said, I don't know what that means. In Columbia, South Carolina. You would be amazed at how many people don't know. In other words, we've still got work to do around here. We've still got this Word to get out to people. Because this Word is strong enough. All you've got to do is sit down and start reading it. And the Holy Spirit will use it to prick your heart. And that's why it's so important in every single church, not just this one, but every church that's built around this community, around this state, and around this country to have a children's ministry. Because we have to get them before the devil does. Some of you have children that are small. Some of you have grandchildren that are small. Sometimes instead of letting them watch Mickey Mouse, just read the Bible to them. Because you have no idea what that'll do for them one day. They may not understand it now. These children over here that are hearing God's Word and even seeing it through pictures, they may not even know what it means now, but the Holy Spirit is using it, and one day He's going to prick their heart and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God does. It brings us to salvation. Secondly, the Word of God secures our salvation. There are millions of Christians walking around this country today wondering if they've lost what they had many years ago. Wondering if they can lose their salvation. Can I tell you, a horrible existence to have is going to bed every night thinking, I hope I kept my salvation today. I hope I didn't lose it today by the things that I did. And some of you probably walked in here. It's a very common problem that the devil loves to get on us about. That we're not saved, that we're not eternally secure. But 1 John chapter number 5 and verse 13, John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God does not want us walking around saying, boy, I hope when I die I'm worthy to get to heaven. He don't want us going to bed each night and saying, boy, I hope if I die tonight I'm going to get to heaven. He wants each and every one of us to know for 100% fact whether we're saved or not. And I don't have a lot of time to get into that this morning. But can I tell you, the Bible teaches that once you are saved, genuinely saved, you can't be unsaved. When I got saved when I was 12 years old, I sat on that CLC bus and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I really had no idea what happened at that moment except Jesus came into my heart. That was about it. But as I began to study my Bible a few years later, there was a lot of things that happened at that very moment. And here's one thing that happened at that very moment I asked Jesus to come into my heart. This is what the Bible says. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. So I heard the gospel, I believed, and it says this, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The moment I asked Jesus to come into my heart, the very Holy Spirit came to indwell me. He came into my heart that day when I was 12, and guess what, I'm 25, and He ain't left yet. Amen. Although I've sinned against Him, although I've probably grieved Him at times, the Bible says He abides with us forever. And maybe we'll get into that in the next few weeks about eternal security. But the Bible says that we are sealed until the day of redemption. And the day of redemption is the day that we go home to be with the Lord. The Holy Spirit stays with us. In John 10 and 28, Jesus said, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. He says, I and my Father are one, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we're in the Father's hand, we're in the Son's hand, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, who can break the seal of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity? We can't. Yourself can't. Your friends can't. Your family can't. Even the devil of hell cannot break that seal. The Bible tells us how to be saved. The Bible tells us that once we are saved, we are secure in our salvation. Thirdly, the Bible tells us how to defeat sin. The Bible defeats sin in our life. Jesus said this, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts." So when you have an evil thought that comes across, it's not just in your mind, it comes forth from the evil heart that you and I have. He says, "Out of the heart of men come evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, all these evil things come from within and defile the man." See, our sins, although we see them on the outside, we look like their actions, they look like their words, they originate in the human heart. See, once we get saved, although the Holy Spirit moves in, our flesh don't move out. And we are still tempted to sin every single day. And Jesus says those sins, they're not just adulteries that you can see with your eyes, but that adultery comes from the inside of your heart and it comes from within. And there's a lot of us that struggle with sin in our life. So how do we defeat it? Because sin originates in the heart, we've got to do something with our heart. And David writes this, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Because sin is in the heart, we've got to put something else there to combat it. And David says, "I'm going to hide the word of God in my heart, that I might not sin against the Lord." See, most of us know exactly in certain types of the day, certain parts of the day, when temptation is going to come our way. And to hide the Word of God in our heart means to study it that morning, to get a verse and to put it right in our heart, knowing that when the devil throws something at us, we hold fast to the Word that's in our heart and say, "I'm going to obey that instead." That's to hide the Word of God in our heart. And I think about so often how often we may hear the Word of God on Sunday, and sometimes we wake up on Monday and we don't think about it at all. We don't wonder about it. We don't hide it in our heart. Sometimes we even start our day maybe 7, 8 in the morning with God's Word, and by 12, 1 o'clock we forgot what we read. But David said, "I'm going to hide the Word in my heart, so that when things come my way that I'm tempted to sin, I'll just say, I'm going to obey God's Word instead." The Word of God brings us to salvation. The Word of God secures our salvation. The Word of God defeats sin. And fourthly, and one of my favorites, the Word of God defeats Satan. The Word of God defeats Satan. And I can tell by some of you's face, maybe you're tired of me and maybe you're tired of the devil this morning. But the devil will never stop. The devil's not going to stop messing with you and your family. So you know what that means? We can't stop defeating him with the Word of God either. We can't stop taking God's Word and trying to defeat him. See, in Matthew chapter number 4, Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days and for 40 nights, and he was fasting and he hadn't ate a thing. Now, I get cranky if I ain't ate in 7 hours. I can't imagine 40 days out there not eating. Can you imagine how weak he was out there? For 40 days and 40 nights he hadn't ate one thing. And guess who comes to mess with him? The one who always comes when we're tired. The one who always comes when we're down and tries to mess with you. The devil, Satan himself, the tempter came to tempt Jesus. And the first thing he looks at Jesus and says, "I know you're hungry. Why don't you command this stone right here to be made bread?" And when Jesus could have looked at him and wiped him off right into hell right there, instead he looks at him and says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And the Bible says the devil takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and says, "Now Jesus, it is written," this is the devil talking, he says, "It is written that if you throw yourself off of here, the angels will come and pick you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." See, the devil knows the Bible. And if the devil knows more Bible than we do, we're in a lot of trouble. And Jesus looks at him and said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And then the devil takes him to a high mountain and says, I will give you everything in this world, all the kingdoms of this world, if you'll just fall down and worship me. Something the devil's wanted ever since eternity, for just somebody to come and worship him. And Jesus looks at him again and says, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. When Jesus could have said anything to him, he came right back with the Word of God. And you know what the Bible says right after that? The devil left for a season. He might have left, but he's always going to come back. See, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I know I'm not the only one in here that's being tempted by the devil nearly every day that you wake up. Usually you wake up at 3 in the morning and you find that everything's quiet and he's just sitting there running his mouth. And sometimes you just got to come back with God's Word, and the Bible says that he'll flee from you. But only for a season, because he's always going to come back. And sometimes it's not even good enough to take open the Bible and just sit here and read it in your mind. Sometimes when the devil starts tempting you, you got to start saying Scripture back to him. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Sometimes you've got to look straight at the devil and start speaking words of Scripture to him, because when you do, he'll flee and run the other way. But always, he'll always come back. Now, how foolish. The Bible says that the devil is a thief that's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How foolish would it be if a thief came into our house and we had a weapon right beside us and he started killing, stealing, and destroying, and we didn't use it against him? It'd be foolish, wouldn't it? But that's what the devil has done to our houses. He has come in to steal and to destroy and to devour our lives and our families. And we've got the sword of the Spirit right here to defeat him, and we better start using it. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and putting on the helmet of salvation, taking up the shield of faith, that you may be able to extinguish all the fiery darts from the wicked, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. In order to fight the devil, we've got to have on the right stuff. And we've got to use our sword against him. Not only does the Bible defeat sin, defeat Satan, but the Bible shows us the right path to go in our lives. And I'm almost done. Now, the darkest room in my house back at my parents' home is the room leading upstairs. Now, I've been living there for about, it's probably about 10 years at this point. I mean, I knew how to walk up the stairs. I didn't need the light on or anything. So I walk up, I walk in that room, I shut the door behind me. Now, if you shut the door behind you and that door up there is closed, there's absolutely no light in front of you. You can't see anything. I could put my hand out in front of me and I can't even see it. That's how dark it is in that room. So one day, I've been living there forever. I was like, I've walked these stairs 2 million times, I can walk up without the light on. Well, I got about halfway up and I didn't realize that Mom had put the Christmas ornaments on the stairs. Well, here I am just a-walking up, just strolling along, and that hurt so bad, stepping on them things. And I just fell right over and came tumbling right down. And all I had to do, as soon as I walked in, is cut on the light. And I'd have prevented myself from going into that trap and from falling and hurting myself. And the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we'd get ourselves out of a lot of trouble if we just asked God what we're supposed to do and find it in His Word before we took a step. Because the Bible says that He will show us the path of life. He will show us the path of life. And I can't tell you how many times I've opened up God's Word and He showed me exactly what I needed for that week. It happened this last week. It's happened millions of times. All you got to do is ask God, show me the direction to go, and He'll show you through His Word. Not only does the Word of God show us the right path, but the Word of God will make us successful. The Word of God will make us successful. Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest to observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God comes to Joshua, the new leader of the children of Israel, and He says, in order to be successful, I'm not telling you to go and do more push-ups to get stronger so you can fight Jericho, so you can fight all these other people. You don't have to go out and lift weights. You don't have to go out and do all these other stuff to get stronger to be successful. The only thing you've got to do is take My Word, meditate on it day and night, look what you need to do, and do it. And He says, then you will be successful. That's what success is in God's eyes. Success in this world, you got to have a big car. You got to have a lot of money. You got to have a nice house in order to be successful in this world. But in order to be successful in God's eyes, know His will and do it. That's what success means in God's eyes. Knowing His will and doing it. And you'll be successful. That's what He told Joshua. He says, day and night, meditate on My Word. Walk in it. And you'll be successful. He's made it so simple for us. But we make it so complicated. Not only does the Word of God show us the right path, not only does the Word of God make us successful, but seventhly, 7 points today, the number of perfection. The Word of God is going to stand forever. The Word of God is going to stand forever. Isaiah 40 and verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever." The flowers that you planted, in about a month, they're all going to be dead. The grass withereth and the flower fades, but can I tell you, the Bible that you hold in your hand is never going to fade away. Isn't it crazy that we've got what Moses wrote 5,000 years ago? Still in our hands today. When all these other stuff, we can't find a lick from that time. We've still got this Bible because God made a promise that it will stand forever. Peter and Paul, what they wrote, we've got it right here because God said it's going to stand forever. And they may can take this Bible out of our public schools. They may can take it out of the government. They may can take it out of Congress. They may can take it out of the White House. But can I tell you, God is not going to allow them to take it out of this world because instead it's going to stand forever. So let me ask you this morning as the musicians come forth. How much does your Bible mean to you? If you have kids, do you read it with them? If you have a husband or your wife, do you read it together? If you have a family, do you gather together and just take 10 minutes, put the TV on mute, and say, this is the most important thing that we can do as a family, because the devil is not going to stop. So for me and my family, we're not going to stop either. Because the devil is out to devour every single family in here, and he'll do it if you let him. But can I tell you, if you take the Word of God and fight Him with everything that you have, God will protect you and your family from the wiles of the devil. This week, just don't let it sit there. This week, take it and read it and grow more in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that you and your family might grow together and become the family that God wants you to be. Amen. Amen. Father, we love You today. And Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And I pray, God, that we just won't take it in here. But God, I pray that as we walk out of these four walls this week, I pray, Lord, that You'll help us as we go home to our families. God, I pray that You'll help us to be aware that the devil is out to destroy all of our families. The devil is out to destroy Christians because he knows that he has but a short time. So, Father, I pray that we'll stand strong in Your Word. I pray, God, that we'll stand on the firm foundation of Your Word. And, God, I pray that You'll help us to be the people that You've called us to be. And, Lord, well, I thank You for this church. And I pray, God, if there's anybody in here that needs to come and join the church, if there's anybody in here that's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the day. And, Lord, we thank You for all You've done. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would all...